This podcast is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network, and it's also proud to be from Texas. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is the 2v2 podcast. Daddy, Dave, and Steve.
Oh man, we're just gonna sit here and be quiet
for the entire
nice cool spot to sit, be quiet for the hour.
You're gonna have to get closer.
We could just sit here and let little Steven talk.
Right? Sounds good.
Hey, there you go. That's what you're here for, Steven. We're taking a break and you're talking. We still get a recording.
Ask him questions for 30-45 minutes.
Yeah.
Hi.
Cool.
So this is an exciting intro. Hey everybody, welcome to 2BT. I'm David.
I'm Michael.
Steven.
Yeah, there we go.
the better Steven has joined us today.
Yeah.
The younger version.
The chip off the old block.
Yeah, the new version of Steven.
And he's a... Wait a second. Version. I just realized this. How old are you?
12, almost 13.
And you're an uncle now.
Yes,
he is.
How does it feel that your dad is a grandfather and you're an uncle? You're too young to be an uncle. You're too young to be a grandfather.
Yeah, I agree.
You're a great uncle.
Yeah,
Dave's great uncle.
Dave. He has the
IDC.
Yeah.
An IDC, and I don't care. I mean, it's cool. I'm a great uncle. I'm an uncle. I'm all sorts of things, but it's just like, the titles don't bother me. I've got white hair in my beard now, and it's like, it is what it is. I mean, it's cool.
Every time I comb mine, it's always the white hairs that are falling out.
Yeah.
At least the red ones are staying. The white ones are the ones that are coming out.
I think it's about time for a trim on mine. I was thinking about making it all even and getting rid of the ZZ Top part. That seems to be like the comment of the like past couple of months now is everybody's like, hey, let me see, your favorite band, ZZ Top, isn't it?
Oh, really?
It's like, well, I like ZZ Top, but they are not my favorite band. I do like them, but yeah appreciate it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only guy in the band that has his last name's Beard doesn't have one.
Yeah, I know, right?
Right.
I always thought that was a little bit ironic. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they probably do it on purpose.
Probably.
Yeah.
Those guys have been around since the late 60s, early 70s.
Right. They've been around for a while.
Oh, yeah. Started, in El Paso, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Way out in El Paso.
So what the devil's everybody been up to?
Work.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Of course, games.
It's your summer break.
Of course, the 12-year-old on summer break says nothing. Everybody else is like, we're working ourselves to death.
Yeah.
It's been busy, hot, and busy.
Steve, whenever you're talking to the microphone, make sure you get real close to it, okay, buddy?
Okay.
So it doesn't hurt. You don't have to talk into this part. You can talk right here into the corner right there. Okay. There you go.
You're doing good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I just got back.
I feel like there's lots of news that we should talk about, but my mind's blank. You just got back from
back. I just took a little road trip. I've been working a ton. I took a little road trip and up into Oklahoma, and it's kind of funny, man. Driving across Oklahoma is like, it's not much difference. And it's kind of like, you always hear like the red dirt, the Texas red dirt and all like this. That's all that's in Oklahoma. So I don't know why it's called Texas red dirt, whenever that's all that's in Oklahoma. Like I drove almost 3/4 of the way across that state. It's like, 3.5 hours, right? And I didn't see anything but red dirt everywhere.
I've often wondered the same thing. How do you get Texas red dirt?
Yeah.
Well, where we're at, it's basically black land. Down south is black land. East Texas is sand.
Yeah.
Up on the river.
Up on the river is, but like the whole state of Oklahoma.
But yeah, all of Oklahoma's red dirt.
Like blood red, especially way up north Oklahoma.
Yeah. Well, like I said, everything I saw, like I went up to, took 35 up to Arbuckle Mountain. And as soon as I came down off Arbuckle Mountain, I took off and went out, I think it's like 7 or whatever, out towards Tulsa, almost to Tulsa. It's about 70 miles south of Tulsa and 75 miles west of, but east of Oklahoma City. So kind of like almost even distances apart from the two. So, but it was cool. I stayed underneath the 24-hour mark, so I didn't have to stop at the dip station on the way home and get rid of all the Oklahoma fleas and stuff.
Oh, oh, hey, oh. Dip yourself.
I had to. I had to make the joke.
The good old Texas Oklahoma hatred for each other.
Yeah, and that's what's crazy is like I don't really hate Oklahoma at all.
The thing to me is everybody I've met that's from Oklahoma. They're exactly the same.
They're exactly the same as, yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. And it's funny, man. Like they have police all over the place up there. What was like essentially like supposed to be like a 3.5 hour drive? I did it in like three, like, and that was only because like I got, dude, I will say the roads are, their signs for the roads are a little bit backwards.
Really?
Like, cause it was telling me like 35 south and it's giving me an arrow right here and I'd go 35 south and it took me on to 35 north. Hmm. Yeah, it was dumb. It was completely, totally dumb. So I was like,
well, maybe that's where Oklahoma gets its reputation.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, well, it is Oklahoma.
So. Yeah. Right. And that could be it. That could be where they get the reputation from is from their road signs. Cause I was like, what the hell? But yeah, I was thinking, I was like, man, we could totally do a 2BT trip of Europe inside the United States and just stay within the states of Oklahoma and Texas because there's, I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be pronounced Prague or Prague or something like that, but there's a Prague, Oklahoma, and then there's Paris, Texas, there's London, Texas, there's Edinburgh. Italy,
well, Edinburgh, Holland, Texas,
I,
too.
I guess they call it Edinburgh or something like that here, but over there it's Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably could.
There was a thing on the internet about that the other day. You could stay in the state of Texas and basically do a tour of.
Isn't there an Italy, Texas?
There's a Moscow, Texas, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. There's Italy, Texas.
Yeah.
There's Pittsburgh, but that's, you know, that's still in the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I was just like, cause I saw that Prague, however they pronounce it. I'm not really sure, but I was like, awesome. And Prague was a pretty nice little town. I mean, I just drove through it. I didn't really spend any time, but yeah, it was good times. And then,
Yeah, Texas has a – Texans have a – and I guess this is other places in the country too, but people – so you can always tell when a newscast guy or meteorologist is not from around the area.
Oh, yeah.
Because certain towns we pronounce differently than – like there's a town out west of here called – we call it Bowie.
Yeah.
It's Bowie.
Yeah.
It's a proper pronunciation.
Yeah.
There's a county northwest of here that's – It's Shakespeare, right out of Shakespeare, Montague, but it's called Montague.
Yeah.
And you can go on down the list.
And it's kind of funny because I was thinking about that the other day or yesterday as I was driving up because I came through Prague and I was like, I bet they pronounce it Prague or Prague or whatever, kind of like how we pronounce Montague as Montague instead of Montague.
Yeah.
And I've actually heard them say it on the news as Montague County or whatever. And I'm like, yep. Which makes me wonder, how do we really know that Shakespeare wrote it as Montague and not Montague?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Steven?
Little Steve, what do you think?
What do you think?
Have you had to read any Shakespeare yet in school?
No.
No, not yet?
Or at least, I don't know.
You don't know?
He may have had to. He just
did. No, you would know. You would know if you had to read Shakespeare.
You'd have fallen asleep.
You would be confused at first, I can almost guarantee.
It takes a little bit of, it's a lot of work.
I mean, once you kind of figure it out how it's worded and what he's talking about, then you grasp onto it. But it's a bunch of doth and thou and... Yeah, you'll have fun with it.
Shakespeare's pretty naughty in places, though.
He is, man.
We got to go to, we went to London a couple years ago. I don't know how,
because
I don't ever see it being able to afford to do it again. And we actually got to go to see two plays at the Globe Theater.
Oh, okay.
And it's set up just like it's still like it would have been back in the time when Shakespeare was alive and watched a couple of plays and. Watching it performed by people that really know what they're doing. Yeah, there's things in it that I'm like, oh wait, I didn't realize this. He was a little bit,
some of the stuff he's
talking about.
There's some of his sonnets that are actually kind of funny too, because there's like one where the two guys are comparing their lovers and one guy's like, you know, if my love was blah, 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 she'd be this. And the other guy's like, well, if my lover's hair was whatever, then it would be black wires growing from her hair. And it's just total, like one complete total opposite ends. It's kind of funny, but I always enjoyed Macbeth. Macbeth was really cool.
Yeah.
Macbeth was good. I liked, what was it? A Midsummer Night's Dream was pretty cool.
Yeah. My oldest daughter was in the version of that a couple of years ago for UIL theater.
Oh, really?
Drama. And they did a pretty good job, but it's another one. It's another weird one. Yeah. Where the guy turns into the donkey and they're trying to swap boyfriend, girlfriends and getting married to different people.
Is his name
and,
Puck, I think, was the donkey. Puck's
there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
Puck's the little fairy that
gets
the guy to turn into a
donkey. I had to memorize my junior year of high school. This will happen to you, little Steve. Whenever you turn to be like 40 or whatever, you'll have this useless information that's in your head that you had to memorize whenever you were like a freshman or junior in high school. Like I had to memorize, a monologue from Romeo and Juliet. And it was where Juliet comes out on the balcony and Romeo's down there on the, down on the ground, and he's like, "But soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun." I'm not going to do the entire thing because I don't want to bore our listeners to death.
But, I think they'd love it.
Probably not.
Can you do the Macbeth? Any of the Macbeth?
I just remember Out Damned Spot.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah.
It had murder and kings and fighting.
And ghosts.
Ghosts.
Yeah.
Lots of ghosts in Shakespeare, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I had this sitting out because I wanted to talk about it just a little bit because it was kind of neat. I was goofing around the other day and I saw something. I was just a post on Facebook. I'm in like these Star Wars groups on Facebook or whatever where they're always selling stuff. And I have this dude and I'll grab the other one so that way you guys can see it. Well, no, never mind. Well, I might be able to grab it real quick.
You need me to move some?
No, you're good. I'm just going to bump into the microphone and just, I should have been more prepared. But here's what it actually looks like. Of course, it's not out of the package, but it's in a nice little star case, so that way the card doesn't get banged up. So what's inside this mailer box is this right here, right? So I was on Facebook the other day, and I saw that they were like, this dude, like, I think it was like, I can't remember what it cost me whenever I did the mail away on it. But I saw a thing on Facebook the other day where those are going like $120 plus now. Is for those
lore.
For those out there in radio land or in podcast land, it's the Star Wars reissue vintage card from Hasbro, but of course it's got the Kenner markings all over it and all like this good stuff, and it's the rocket firing Boba Fett. Now that never did get released, so anybody that comes out and says like, "Oh, I had the rock and fire Boba Fett before they made it illegal," blah blah blah, no they didn't, because it never did get released. There's a few prototypes floating out there, or whatever. Like Steve Sansweet has one. Another guy in Dallas has one by the name of I can't think of that dude's name. I remember his last name is Weiss, but
I think they showed one on the Toys That Made Us.
Yeah,
when they went to visit. Where's that place? The guy that has a huge collection.
Oh, Steve Sansweet, Rancho Obi-Wan.
I think they had
California or
had one there. Maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I've actually been there. He does have one. I've seen it in person. It's pretty cool. He's got two. He's got the J hook and the L hook figures. So
wow.
Yeah.
Which one is that one, J or L?
I'm not sure what they did on that one because I've never opened it up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know if maybe it said on the back which one it was.
Yeah, no, it just says he's here at last after 30 years. The Boba Fett figure with the rocket firing backpack has reached this galaxy. Of course, there's a lot more, but I'm not going to go through it. But yeah, I had that down here because I was like, that's
so
pretty
neat.
So I
could sell that for $120.
I don't know. I'm sure you might be able to get $120 for it, but I went on eBay and looked at them. Cause that's where I kind of go to do prices, and I don't do like, well, this is what it's selling for. I do like what it's sold. Right. And so it's been anywhere. Yeah, yeah. I've seen those sold from anywhere from like $70 to like $300.
Yeah. Because somebody's asking $200 for it doesn't mean they're going to get it.
Yeah. No, exactly. So like, don't sit there and look at something and be like, "Oh, well, it says that it's $300 right here." So you're not going to necessarily get $300.
Funny. Cause I was looking and I was like, man, I'm not a big collector, you know?
Yeah.
I've got a weird habit of weird things I'll randomly have, an assortment of things.
Yeah.
But nothing like this in this room. And anybody that wants to know what we're talking about, just go to our Facebook page. I think Dave's got a video up on there.
I was doing a little video there for a while of like what's on the shelf or whatever.
But I was thinking about what would it cost to start getting, I just like the original, was it 12 or 13?
Original 12.
The original 12. How hard would it be over time to assemble something like that?
Not very hard. You can find those just about anywhere. You can always go to a convention and find them at a convention. eBay, Facebook groups is where I get a lot of mine at. And a lot of these guys, like, I would just, like, there'd be one character in, like, a batch that I would want.
Yeah.
Like, a lot. And it would be a good price on the lot. So I would just go ahead and buy the lot and then sell what I don't need out of it. So that way I've kind of like recouped my costs a little bit, you know.
Well, a lot of the ones I saw like online, you can like bid on.
Oh yeah.
Like the Luke Skywalker. I think that's one of the ones I would want to start with.
Yeah.
The Farm Boy Luke.
They're getting awful pricey.
Well, there's no, and there, a lot of them are pricey without the lightsaber.
Oh, right. And the lightsaber is what makes it expensive.
Yeah.
And the weapons is what makes it expensive. And that's kind of what drives me up the wall right now, because a lot of these guys will sell these dudes without the weapons or whatever. And it's like, dude, it's a Star Wars guy. He's supposed to have his blaster, his weapon, whatever, right. His gaffy stick, you know, his helmet for Lando, which I still got to find at some point in time. Cause I was readjusting whenever I put the Luke up there. If you hand me that piece of cardboard right there, that's on the ground, Steve, right there behind your chair. Yeah, that was the backdrop for the Short Trooper. But as you can see here, it's got a nice little where the fan blade hit it. I should have been thinking. I should have turned the fan off. No, I just didn't think about it.
Dug a good notch out of there, didn't it?
Yeah, but it's all right. I was thinking about displaying him without the backdrop anyways. I like the backdrop. It was pretty cool. I mean, I like the side that looks like the base or whatever. But
yeah. He still looks good without it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So.
I'm just now noticing your new Luke up there.
Oh, yeah.
I think, dude, the sculpt on the face is amazing.
The sculpt, the paint, like it's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, that's a nice man. Do they have the Farm Boy one?
They have not done a Farm Boy Luke yet.
That and like put him there on the left. Have the pilot version and then the.
See, I screwed up. They did one a long time ago of the Bespin Luke, and I really wanted to get that one, but I didn't just because the price was so expensive. Now you look at the price on the secondary market, and it's like insane. Like, I don't even know what it costs. Last time I checked it was somewhere around like $500.
Good God.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Dang.
Yeah, no kidding, right? That's why he's way up there, so you can't grab him.
Yeah.
That's a lot of video games you can buy with that kind of money, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So what video games are you playing right now, dude? Still doing Skyrim? Sometimes. Make sure whenever you talk, get up there close to that microphone. So sometimes, only sometimes Skyrim. What are you playing other than that then?
On my phone, I play like random game, like
get up close to the microphone.
Like Minecraft.
Yeah.
Just started playing Roblox and Pixel Gun 3D.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, what about Have you given in to the Fortnite craze yet?
No.
No?
I can't even get it to load. I can't even get it to load.
Oh, yeah? Hmm. Well, good grief, man. So you've downloaded it then and all like that good stuff?
Yes, but I've deleted it.
Oh, yeah? Oh. What were you playing it on? PS3 or whatever?
Phone.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you mainly play video games on your phone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're pretty hardcore on Minecraft and Skyrim, and that's about it, right?
Yeah.
Cool. It's good times.
Yeah.
It's whatever makes the summer go by, right? Ready to go back to school?
No.
No? Why not?
School's boring.
What? You don't take your phone to school with you and sit there and play video games during class all day long?
I take my phone to school, but I don't play video games. I bring my phone to school, but I don't play it during class.
Oh, yeah? Okay. You get in trouble if you play it during class?
Yes, they'll take it up, and then you'll have to pay $15 to get it back.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I was thinking about the summers back in the day, and I don't know. Have you ever been crawdad fishing?
No.
No? What the heck, man?
We went crawdad fishing down in Nina and Papa's ditch at one time. Was it last year, year before last?
Probably.
Yeah. It's fun, man. Me and her dad here, we used to get like old pieces of bacon and bologna.
Yep.
And just a piece of string and a washer.
That's all you needed.
Yeah. And go down. I was thinking about that the other day where we go down there and like, we basically like, think about it. It was almost like Opie Taylor growing up in the town where we were at. Like, We'd be walking down the street and, or riding our bicycles down the street. And there was like, I remember there was one crowded hole there at the electric company place or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
there's a lot of them in there.
Yeah. There was a ton of them in there, and they were big. Like they seemed like they were lobster size.
Oh man.
And we always would say it was like from the electricity or whatever, but there was no electricity there. It's just like where they stored the vehicles and stuff. But I guess we thought that since electric vehicles were there, we thought that they were, you know, dumping something in the water or something like that. You got to do more crawdad fishing, man. I bet there's got to be a place around your house.
Nope.
No?
There's not much water laying around anywhere right now.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. You can see, that's what you got to do. You got to go exploring, man.
Very little rain this summer.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty ridiculous. So blasted dry. I don't know how y'all are cutting hay right now, man.
We've been lucky. Some of the places we do a lot of our work is just, it's like they'll get an inch, a fluke storm will jump up right where it needs to, but it's starting to, we're about to get to the point where if something doesn't happen soon, I'm going to have a short summer and have to, find another job.
I don't know. It'd be like, can I read for money?
I wish. I want to do that.
So right. Please, yeah, proofreader.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That'd be something.
That wouldn't be too bad, actually. I don't know. I don't know if I could do it. Yeah, I'm a little bit dyslexic, and that would just be like,
you could proof listen.
Yeah, I could. I totally could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause I've been, good God, I've been burning through books.
Just tearing through it. I know, man. Like I've just about finished the Dresden Files.
I actually did finish them just the other day.
Oh, okay.
I wrote
skin
out.
Skin game or
you finished
it was.
The last, you got to yeah. The little skin game. That's the 3-year-old 2015. Do you have another one coming out?
Yeah,
his omnibus of short stories just came out, but
yeah, he's got the next one's titled Peace Talks. I'm not exactly sure when it's supposed to come out. I think it's like August of next year or something. I don't know. I don't have my phone on me. I took off and left my phone.
I have my phone on me right now.
Oh, okay. Well, I had a bunch of stuff saved on there to talk about, but it's all good. I mean, I can use it real quick. And
since last fall when we started this, I've started 4 series.
Oh, wow.
Old Man's War series.
Yeah.
There you go.
John Scalzi. The Red Rising series of Pierce Brown. And I started that Expanse series.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm going to keep a checklist of everything I finished. And I wrote out the Dresden Files list. It's daunting, man. And it's a big list.
There's a lot of books in it.
I mean, I got 3 out of 4 on the Old Man's War. 4 out of all of the ones that are out for Red Rising. There's 4. And, the Expanse has got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 with 1 more coming out sometime. And I've already done 4 of those, but Dresden Files, I still got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I've got 10 or 11 books left and I've read 5 and he's got to have another one coming out. Good God.
Oh, yeah, by the time you get through it, there'll be another one to read.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's how you stay relevant, I guess.
Up to Forgotten Realms stuff now. I finished Dresden Files and I started the Halfling's Gem. So that's my next thing to tackle. I don't know what I'm going to go to after the Halfling's Gem yet. I'll have to pick another trilogy series or whatever it is, but it's going to be Forgotten Realms based probably. So
yeah. And there's what did I look up the other day? I told Dave I got some last 2 weeks ago that I got some more of those Forgotten Realms. I need to bring them over and let you just kind of pick through and anything you want to read. Got a bunch of them. And I was like, well, let's go look up like Dragonlance. There were some ungodly number. I knew there were a lot.
There's
like
a lot
900
of them.
Books in the Dragonlance novel line.
Holy crap.
Something like that. It was insane. I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. But then, you know, that was a money maker for them because they would have all these different series. You know, you got the core of the Chronicles and then Legends and then the prequels and then the meetings. And then next thing you know, then it started branching out into like different people.
Yeah. It got, what was it? The Elven Wars or something like that.
Yeah.
It really got it. Well, Forgotten Realms is the same way. And they're like, quite a few of those.
Well, just R.A. Salvatore himself, just his books is an enormous commitment. Then you got like guys like Ed Greenwood, one of the old school early guys.
Yeah.
He did the Elminster, the Wizard.
So thinking like about doing what is the Avatar series next?
I'm not sure.
Starts off, I think the first one's like Waterdeep or.
Yeah.
I forget what it is. I've read it before, but it's been a long time. But anyway, Steven, you got any questions for us?
Nope.
Come on.
You got to have one. Something you've always wanted to ask Dave.
How much is this room worth that we're sitting in?
That's a pretty good question.
That's a really good question.
I really don't know, man. I couldn't even begin to tell you.
A lot.
Yeah, it's enough that if I sold it all, I could probably finance a trip to Europe for a while. That's about the best I can say. I really don't know, man. I don't have any idea. And it's, you know, I have not found anything whenever it comes to the release date of Peace Talks. It says, the one that I did see, it says that it'll be out before the next Game of Thrones book. So I don't know if that's promising or not. So,
I still have no clue when that is.
Yeah. That Game of Thrones book might not come.
Oh, really? Why not?
He's not a young man. No offense, but he's not a young man.
No, he is not.
I've heard he's tired of writing them. I thought I read a news story that said he's basically tired of writing right now. That it took him so long to write the first, four or five, whatever it is.
It was supposed to have been a trilogy. And it kept growing, and like one book ended up becoming two books that were both thousands of pages. Yeah. That was supposed to have been one book, and to publish it, period, they just split it up. And he keeps getting, and he's making this world that's so intricate with all these complex subplots and all this stuff. I've heard people say he's kind of written himself into a position that he doesn't know how to get out of it to the end.
Oh, really?
I don't know. It's one of those things that someday, and that's sad that what is going to be known as the story of Game of Thrones, Song of Ice and Fire, is going to be what the TV series decides it is.
Yeah, that's exactly. You know, it is, because they've already finished filming for the next series already.
So. Yeah, and that'll be it.
Yeah.
They're going to do a prequel series, I've heard, which is interesting. But I don't know why you'd want to watch something when you know the outcome.
Yeah, I don't know.
But that's what we need, a drum roll.
It's one of those things, and I feel the same way about that Patrick. I know you, Dave, you read the Patrick Rothfuss books.
Yes, I have.
You've been waiting a long time for this next book in his.
Oh God, yeah.
Series.
Yeah, that's one of those. It seems like it's never going to come either.
Yeah. He says it's there. He says he's almost done and stuff, but
yeah.
I wonder, he's one of these guys that signed a big production deal for movie and TV series. And I wonder if he's like, and this is just me guessing because I don't know anything. But hey, everybody gets to say what they think nowadays. But it is like, I wonder, like, is he waiting for that to hit, for the book to drop, so that there's more hype for it?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
Like, it's one of those things where you don't even know where to begin on it. Like, is life getting in the way? Like, something happened in the family, blah, blah, blah. Cause I did read something about that. I think that's what happened with the latest book of the Dresden Files. But then again, he's also got Cinder Spires that he's also working on at the same time as Dresden. And then, I don't know, don't do that. I do know that I think he was working on Codex Alera at the same time that he was writing Dresden. Those Dresden books were just coming out left and right at that point in time too. Cause if you look at those early publications, like, they were coming out almost like once a year. Granted, they're not like you said, they're not the longest books in the world.
Yeah. First three came out within, from 2002, came out in 2001.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe
he's just got writer's block. I mean, he's put out a lot of stories.
Yeah. That's true.
That's a lot of information. Maybe he's wrote, I guess, everything that he can think of right now. And he's just waiting for more. What's the word for it when you're just waiting for something life to pop out and give you the idea?
Inspiration.
Yeah. Inspiration or a muse or something like that.
I'm not going to criticize anybody that's actually got a book published. I've tried to write, and I know lots of people will say, well, you should have them done by now. Well, come on, drag your feet. You go write a story.
Oh yeah,
because I've dabbled in writing books. Yeah, you know? Yeah, I mean, and it's about hard. The
same guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't. After finishing the last one, I can't wait for the next one to come out.
Yeah,
I love the series.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I'd love to find out how he gets out of the clutches of you know who there. You know,
I don't know. Yeah. I'm not there yet. I have still like 30 books to read. The only benefit, one of the things I love about his books is they're not that long.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So you can burn short through them pretty quick. Yeah.
Yeah. About anywhere from 9 hours to 12 hours listening time so far from the ones
as they go further along, they get more and more meatier, I guess.
The longer.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like, I think the next one's like 15 hours or something like that or whatever. Still, like, it's not like a whole heck of a lot of audio. Whereas, like, you know, I'm working 10 hour days right now. So it's like, I'm almost like burning through a book every other day, just about. So,
yeah. Yeah.
But it's fun, you know. And like I said, it's one of those series that I'll always go back to just because I do enjoy it so much. But yeah, I, and you know, it's kind of flip flopping back and forth between that and Red Rising. And you were said that they had a delay on that, right?
Yeah, two things made me kind of a little bit sad this week. I was looking up because I looked up on Audible to see, because I want to kind of take a break from The Expanse.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to start, I kind of want to get you're a little bit closer caught up, so I'm not done with it before you get near where I'm at now. But I was like, well, Red Rising book's coming out in September. That's what we've thought, because Amazon had it posted. Release date for Dark Age is coming up in September. I'm like, sweet. I'm going to look and see what they caught on Audible.
Yeah.
And like the first book was like $4.50 or $4.99 or something like that. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it. Got it. And the second one, I think it's because I did do the Kindle version. And when you do that, they have that whisper sync option, and they sometimes only charge you a few bucks more to give you the audio version.
Yeah.
So I did all of them. I think I got all four of the current books for like $20 or less.
Oh, wow.
It was a really good deal. So I got them, and then I was looked up, okay, when is Dark Age coming out? What's the actual release date? 2019. I'm like, 2019? I had my hopes up, but it makes sense. I mean,
so it looks like I can pause on Red Rising so I don't have to be done by September.
No, I think it's like February, and that makes sense. It's like, because it's actually a better model, a book a year.
Yeah.
Instead of, maybe he's like trying to slow it down because maybe the next book in the saga is going to be a little bit longer to get done or something. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who the heck knows?
And that's kind of like what I was thinking, like the title is pretty ominous, Dark Ages.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of like, what if you think about it? I don't know if you can, that doesn't sound like that's going to be ending off the series.
No, that actually sounds like it may be starting a whole nother, you know what I mean? Because everybody talks about the dark times.
Yeah.
Before them, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to me, that, in my opinion, it symbolizes like we're fixing to go somewhere else with this and maybe get three more.
Well, that's another reason I wanted to go through them again, is because they kind of ended on a dark note in the last book, didn't it? Like, we're kind of, I kind of questioned, like, oh, wait, is Darrow really the hero? Yeah. Is he somebody we should be pulling for?
It had a very Empire Strikes Back feel to it, to where it was like the middle act, the where like your heroes and all like that. And I mean, like, if you have like 1, 2, 3, and then you have number 4, obviously, then that would be another part of the middle act. So you would have that as a darker book. And it kind of left everything just like the second book. The second book left you, like I said, that leaves you with such a cliffhanger that you need to move basically from the second book straight into the third book because you're wondering what the heck's going to happen to your heroes. So I think that there's going to be more in the series just because like you can't. Dark Ages, that's like I said, that's a very, very, very ominous title. So yeah.
I wouldn't think you would end on a title that says Dark Ages.
No.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That sounds like almost going back to the beginning where he was just the lowly red, you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, same here. Oh, man. We are a lively bunch.
Yeah, it's just hot, man. It's hot and everybody's tired.
Yeah. I'm not tired.
Well, that's why we brought you, but you're not talking.
He's just smiling, though. Yeah. He's happy.
Call him Smiley Steve.
No.
And then they delayed the Indiana Jones movie.
That's the second thing this week I found out. Yeah. Instead of being next year.
Well, okay. Here you go. Here's a question. How can we, I hate to say it, but with Harrison Ford being as old as he is, how do they justify putting it out to what? Till 2020 now? Isn't that what it said?
2021.
2021?
I think the story is that they, and it might even be him involved. I think they can't agree. Everybody involved can't agree on
Can't sign off on the story. Yeah, can't sign off on the story. What the story
is. And, you know, they need to make this one. If this is the last Harrison Ford Indiana Jones movie, needs to be good.
Yeah.
Needs to be solid.
Disney, if you're listening, Indiana Jones and the Sword of King Arthur.
I'd love that. Let's get Rian Johnson to do it.
Right?
I'm okay with that.
How many Star Wars / Indiana Jones fans just pull all their hair out? Right. Oh, no, not that guy.
Yeah, not that guy. He ruined my childhood. Yeah,
well, no. He's fixing to ruin it twice.
Yeah. Little Steven, did you like The Last Jedi?
Yes.
Were you happy with it?
Yes.
Okay, good.
You elaborate on your answers very well.
What about Solo? Did you like Solo?
Yes, I was not expecting Darth Maul to end.
No one was.
It's pretty neat, wasn't it?
That's really cool.
Yeah, we haven't got Steven's opinion on Solo yet.
Nope.
Well, the mic is yours, son.
How was it? What was your favorite part?
I don't really know what my favorite part was. I mean, it was like all good, but I can't pick a favorite part out of all that, like 2 hours and something minutes.
Yeah. Did you like the train robbery?
Yes.
Yeah, I did too.
I think he liked the Darth Maul part since he went straight to that.
Yeah, that was just a big surprise, though.
Remember, prequel kid here.
So. Yeah. What's your favorite Star Wars movie? Do you have one, or do you just like them all?
I like them all.
But if there's one if you were going to go home right now and put the movie in to watch it, what one would you choose first?
I don't really know. I don't really know.
He picks Revenge of the Sith 90% of the time.
That's what your dad's been telling us. Has he been lying to us?
I got a question for you.
What?
Rebels or Clone Wars on that animated series?
That's hard.
Yeah, I know it.
Yeah.
Well, okay, what is it that you like about both of them? Because I know you like both of them, but what are the aspects of both of them that you like?
The Rebels is other times happened during the, while Darth Vader was still alive. And,
yeah.
And the Clone Wars like the backstory to that.
Yeah. So you like the fact that it's the backstories and stuff like that, and you like the fact that it's while Darth Vader's up and around and banging heads together and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He likes it all. He's just like, he's a true member of the 2BT family.
Oh, yeah.
He just enjoys it all. It's hard to pick favorites. I can't do it most of the time. It's really hard.
Yeah. No, that's kind of the same here. Like, whenever I go to pick one of the Star Wars movies to watch, it's hard for me to pick which one. I just got to kind of go what, like, mood I'm in. Like, a lot of the times it's Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
No. Like,
if I can't figure out what I want to watch, throw on Empire Strikes Back. But, you know, the thing I've been running through lately is that Vietnam documentary series that Ken Burns did.
How far have you gotten in that?
I'm on, I think, like the second to last episode, but okay. I kind of stalled out on it. I had a bunch of stuff that I had to do, and like, it's just, they're so long that it's hard to sit there and just, you know, whenever I get home from work and I'm working 10 hours, so there's not a whole heck of a lot of time left in a day whenever I get home from work. So it's like, okay, I'll turn this on and I'll go start cooking dinner or something like that or whatever, you know? So it's like, what am I going to do? You know,
I watched just the first episode and it
goes deep.
Amazed me.
Oh yeah.
You know, the one thing that stood out was when Ho Chi Minh was at the Versailles conference in 1919 and actually wrote a letter and met with Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah.
Asking for his support for freeing the Vietnamese people right then from underneath the thumb of the French.
Yeah.
Just if they'd have been listened to right then, things might have changed a lot.
Yeah, and that's what I got out of it. It's like, you know, the Vietnam War was, what, 60s and 70s? And we're talking about the Versailles Treaty. It could have been avoided in the 1917, was it?
Yeah,
1919. I mean, you're looking that far back.
Well, even
set the groundwork for it.
It goes back longer than that, from what the Ken Burns shows.
Yeah. Well, and like, even there was also, he wrote a letter to Eisenhower.
Yeah.
And Eisenhower's aides never gave it to him whenever Eisenhower was president or whatever, you know, and it's like, they just didn't give it to him. Yeah. And that one act right there of them not giving that letter to Eisenhower maybe could have ceased the entire thing from happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I got to, the shootings at Kent State. I think that was like the last episode that I saw. So I think that's like 1970. I think it's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just like, man, like, whenever you really start thinking about the fact that the population was so in such an uproar, and of course it wasn't everybody. There's still some people that, you know, you have the doves and the hawks, just like we had back all the way back to the American Revolution. But you know, whatever you have such a distinct rift within the population, it's kind of hard to. I mean, there's obviously a rift in the population right now with the presidency that's going on, but it seems like it's even more back in the 60s. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I wasn't alive back then. But you know, it's like, man, where people are actually being shot because they're out of protest.
When National Guardsmen are firing weapons on students protesting, that's a pretty drastic situation.
Yeah. And it just makes you wonder, is it just from the mindset of that point in time? Because some old man got in an uproar because it's like, well, these kids just ain't listening. We got to save the world from communism, and we got to, like, open fire on them and show them who's right, you know. And it's which, I mean, you run into the same mindset nowadays.
Do y'all remember James Stockdale, Admiral Stockdale, that ran as vice president in 92 for Ross Perot on the ticket? That was probably back.
Name sounds familiar, but I don't know.
He's the guy that got up in the debate with the other vice presidential candidates and said, "Who am I? Why am I here?" And like Saturday Night Live made a big joke of it. Thing is, the guy was the longest serving Vietnam prisoner of war in the Hanoi Hilton.
Oh, wow.
And he was a philosophical thinker. He was a really intelligent man.
Yeah.
Spent a career after getting released. I mean, I listened to a podcast about him the other day, and I'm like, oh wow, I feel bad for laughing at all the jokes they made about this guy back then, because he wasn't even really supposed to have been the candidate.
Yeah.
He was supposed to have been he was a placeholder candidate until Perot found somebody else that was going to be, you know, more acceptable to the people.
Yeah.
Anyhow, and he didn't even know he was going to have to do the debate that he got made fun of for so much. So it's really sad that that happened to him. But he spent so much time in torture in that. They created a tapping, like a Morse code to communicate. They created rules on how much torture is acceptable. Like, okay, there's a certain point in time when they're torturing you that it's okay for you to give some information.
Oh,
just
wow.
Don't give or you give false information. Like one of the pieces of information they gave was that, something about Clark Kent was like some secret super spy or something like that. And then of course the guy that gave that piece of information out, when one of the Vietnamese people like, well, Clark Kent, Superman.
Yeah.
You idiot. That person of course went and got some bones broken or something like that.
So yeah.
My point is, this guy that served all that time, he was in the Gulf of Tonkin in the early 60s when the supposed Gulf of Tonkin incident happened, where we were supposedly attacked by some boats from the Vietnamese Northern Vietnam military.
Yeah.
He's like, he didn't see any boats. He just saw a lot of gunships firing off stuff and making a lot of noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, a guy like that even wrote it in his memoir that, yeah, nothing. We concocted that to get involved because we had, you know, a lot of businessmen had interests and we wanted to take over. And then of course the whole anti-Russia and anti-China thing.
Anti-communism.
Like we had to get our foot over there. And yeah, it's just that kind of stuff. Really, you start looking into the history, it really gets a lot of shady stuff.
Oh God. Yeah.
Like did we really have to be involved?
Yeah. Yeah, my point that I've taken from it, no, we had no business whatsoever. And in fact, we were kind of helping the wrong regime after watching that documentary. And then again, it could be skewed because it is from a guy's point of view. You know, it could be just because of Ken Burns' point of view or whatever.
Yeah.
Then that's the problem with documentaries is that, you know, you get a good overview of it, but you know, you also kind of usually will be skewed one way of thinking or whatnot. My opinion as of right now, and this is just could be uninformed, but yeah, we had no business. We had no business. And then, you know, the South Vietnamese government that we were helping out was corrupt, super corrupt.
Yeah. And I think if I'm not mistaken, we actually helped overthrow somebody we helped set up in that government because they weren't doing what we wanted. So.
It happens
all the time.
I was about to say, we've had that happen quite a few times. Yeah. You know, Panama.
Yeah.
You know, Grenada. I think Grenada was another one of them or whatever. You know, it's, you know, the list is long and unending, it seems like. And it's just like, oh man, like that's what's great about history is it's almost like a soap opera.
you know, like the farther you deep.
That's why they say if you don't learn from your mistakes, history. How's it go? History will repeat itself if you don't learn from the past or something like
that. You're doomed to repeat it. Yeah.
Doesn't seem like we've learned a whole lot from the past.
No.
One lesson I've learned is we should find a way to get along and not let other people manipulate us into hating ourselves.
Exactly.
Because I've talked to people that or have different views than me on certain things. And ultimately, when I sit down and talk to them, we all want the same things.
Yeah.
But my okay, I'm calling my wife out here. She gets on Facebook and gets so worked up. People want us to hate each other.
Oh, yeah.
So much.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
And I don't hate anybody. I think we might disagree on some fundamental things, and we need to figure out and sit down and have some.
Yeah.
Sit down and have some enchilada dinner and just work it out all together. Well,
my question is where do we forget how to talk to each other?
No, we yell at each other and we call each other names.
And this is it. When did people forget how to talk?
I've listened to family members say stuff about people that I admire.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are you doing that? Because I would never say that about you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. People just need to relax. Because I just remember one of the beautiful things that came out of 9/11 was the sense of unity. Because I remember people being so polite.
Yeah.
Because I had started a job at a bookstore as a cashier. And that store usually should have been making like $20,000 to $25,000 a day in sales. I started out. And the sales had dropped to $3,000 to $5,000 a day. So pretty much I was like, we had two floors.
Yeah.
I was on the top floor. I'd be the only person there my entire shift.
Oh, wow.
But everybody was scared to go into big malls and things like that. But I remember people being so polite and so kind and so nice. And then gradually that started deteriorating. And, I don't want another tragedy to happen.
No.
But, why can't we look at each other as like, we're all people.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get along.
And we all have the same common end goal in mind too.
Yeah.
We just want to live life.
Well, my question is why is it so hard to respect other people's thoughts and opinions?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, just because somebody doesn't have the same thought or his opinion as you, you don't have to yell at them.
Right.
Like there's lots and lots and lots of different that you don't have to conform to one way.
Yeah.
You know, you can believe, that's what gets me is like all the like hate and, you know, my thing is now that I see a lot of is Muslim hate. And it's like, you guys do realize that one of the whole purposes that this area was even settled, that this country was even settled for freedom of religion, for the Puritans leaving so that we'd quit being persecuted by the freaking Roman Catholics. And it's like you are allowed. That's one of our declarations in our basic freaking constitution.
Things. Yeah. Basic.
Yeah.
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 That you are allowed to worship whoever you want.
Yep.
It's not going to overthrow your government. It's not. You know, I hate to tell you, but you know, and I'm sure I probably just pissed somebody off and they just turned us off. But
I
guarantee you did.
But yeah.
Well, if it makes them mad, then. Well, you really need to reevaluate your life end and your life goals.
I don't even say that. I just say, like, just think about what it is that upsets you about it.
Right.
What is it that upsets you about it? And why does it upset you? You know, they're not, if you talk to somebody that has, I won't even say Muslim, just any different religion. If you just talk to somebody, they're not going to be a monster.
No. Right.
They're not going to be a monster. Yes.
Now there are people that manipulate people that believe different things into doing things.
You're right.
And that's, you know, I hate to tell you, that's happened in the United States too.
Yeah.
There are different factions of certain religions.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That have been used for political gain by certain parties.
Right.
Yeah.
Every religion does that.
Yeah,
every religion has the Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, every religion has it. Every religion's always going to have it.
Yeah. Well, you have your radical activists and your religious groups, no matter what religious group it is. You know, we get, you know, the Muslim religious groups get pointed out all the time. But I mean, what do you think Westboro Baptist Church is?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's those guys, dude, they, you know, protesting funerals of soldiers and things like that.
Yep.
That's just uncalled for.
See, yeah.
Protesting anybody's
funeral. Completely uncalled for.
Yeah. It's just, you know, I respect everybody's political belief. I respect everybody's religion. Just, you know, step back and take a look at it and say, why do I hate this?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you can't come up with 10 logical reasons of why you hate it, then maybe you should reevaluate that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It's getting kind of
2BT goes deep.
Yeah, right.
Well, I always tell my kids, and Steven can vouch for this, is if we all lived in a world where everybody's opinion was the same, it would be a really boring place.
That's very true.
Well, we'd all be walking in single file.
What would we have to talk about?
Yeah.
What makes us great, in my opinion, is the fact that we all have opinions.
Yep.
And I like that. I like having talks like that.
I mean, the three of us agree on lots of things, but I guarantee if we really wanted to sit here and get to branch off of some of the things we normally sit and we agree on, I guarantee you we disagree on a number
of things. We're not going to argue and fight and everything else.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's one of the whole things that Star Wars was even written.
I like my steak cooked medium rare. Well, I like mine medium well. Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah. That's it. This podcast is over. Yeah.
Well, that's one of the whole things of why, Star Wars was even written by Lucas was because he thought that the mindset of the youth had gotten so one tracked and was being suppressed, and that, by that he could show them that you can stand up to the big governments, that you can have your voice heard, you can make a change, you can be the difference. And that was one of the whole reasons of why that was even written in the first place, is so that way he could get a message out to the youth of America at the time.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you were coming off of Vietnam War ending in 73 and this was released in 77, but yet everything had kind of dialed down and whatnot,
Yeah.
And so he still wanted to carry the message that, with the group, you can change the way that things are done.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know, but I think, and not only that, but Star Trek has done the same thing as well.
Yeah.
Star Trek with the original series tackled a lot of
social issues. I mean, first interracial kiss. I mean, that wasn't even supposed to happen. Shatner made it happen.
Oh, really?
And they did something, I'm sorry. I know part of this is true. If I'm getting some of the details wrong, don't sue me. By telling the story. He was told not to do it or something by the higher ups in the company because they're scared of, the network censors and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And they did it and they said something, they made up an excuse well, we just can't do it. They made up some lies to why they couldn't, and they went ahead and let it air.
Yeah.
So, but it was on false pretense that it ended up being aired.
And, yeah.
All kinds of stuff like that.
So they just have to sneak it by them then or something like that?
Something like that happened. People, you can probably go and find it. I got it off of watching something about Star Trek or an interview not that long ago.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of the things that he wanted to do. The guy that started Star Trek came up with it.
Yeah.
He had a lot of ideas, and what's better way to do it is with science fiction.
Have you ever looked at his you'd call it his rap sheet or whatever, what he'd all done in his life? I think he was a professor or a teacher at one point in time. Then he got tired of that, so he became a cop in LA and then.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He was a cop and then decided, I'm going to start a TV show.
Yeah.
Literally, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Some documentary on Netflix I was watching not that long ago, it tells this story. It might have been the Toys That Made Us.
I was about to say, I think it might have been the Toys That Made Us. I think it was
the Toys That Made Us tells a really good introduction to that. Yeah, I had no idea that he was a cop in LA.
Yeah. And that was one that was kind of got me because I always thought that, you had the Star Wars toys and they were always so great. And the Star Trek toys, Star Trek was a really well, done series or whatever. That I love the Next Generation. Yeah. That's kind of, we kind of grew up with the Next Generation coming out in the 80s stuff, yeah. But the toys for it were always just kind of crap.
Yeah.
Basically, even
it kind of makes you feel watching that, the Toys That Made Us kind of made me feel a little sorry for Star Trek.
Yeah. It was really pathetic
because it's like they tried and tried and tried to get toys out, but they never could get it right.
Or the timing was always wrong.
Yeah. And it's just like, come on, man. I mean, what could have been, I mean, we could be doing basically a Star Trek heavy podcast if they had got it done right.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
No.
I mean, I like Star Trek. I like the Next Generation. I dig the movies. But, it's
I even like the original series.
Oh, yeah.
The TV series. I used to watch those all the time.
Watched it almost every day when it was in syndication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, did I ever tell you about the gold mine of TV I found on Hulu? I don't think we've recorded since that.
I think you posted about it.
Yeah, I did post it on Facebook, but man, whenever I came across that, it was WKRP in Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah.
MASH, I Love Lucy, Beverly Hillbillies, Addams Family. I was like, dude, all they need is the Munsters. Like, they have the Munsters today, which is not the quality Munsters is what there was back in the original.
Munsters back in the day were awesome. The Addams Family back in the day was awesome.
Well, it's the original Addams Family. It's just they don't have the original Munsters. Right. They have the Munsters today, which is just like,
Grandpa in his car.
Yeah, it's like, they're like, in color, and it's like Munsters are supposed to be black and white.
Yeah. Munsters are black and white. Mr. Ed, you ever watch Mr. Ed?
Mr. Ed is actually on Netflix, not Netflix, but Hulu as well. So I was like, oh my god, this is great. So I was just going through add to watch list. So I could relive my summer's childhood sitting at my grandma's house, like watching Channel 21 all day long, basically.
Yep. You'd think there'd be more of that available, older stuff.
You would figure, right? And I don't know if there's something to deal with, like, the legal aspects of it or whatever, with, like, the whole, like, syndication crap or what, who owns the rights or whatnot.
A lot of the shows, like, I don't know if y'all remember a show called Sigmund and the Sea Monsters or something like that.
Yeah.
I would love to find that. Right. And just watch it. I'm sure it's terrible. I know it is.
Or H.R. Puffin stuff.
Yeah.
The Bugaloos. Puffin stuff.
The Bugaloos.
Things get rough.
Yeah. This is very deja vu. You know, we've done this far before.
I know. Love that stuff. We can't find it. But something we just finished our Office. My wife and I just finished watching every episode of The Office.
Oh, yeah.
Rewatching.
Yeah.
That's a lot of shows. It's over 200 episodes.
It is. What, like 9 seasons or something like
that? 9 seasons, 200 and something episodes. And so we jumped into John Krasinski's most recent movie that he directed. I told y'all about it. It's now one of my favorite movies.
Yeah. That was called down, Quiet Place.
A Quiet Place.
Yeah.
He, two guys came up with a story and he broke down a screenplay with them for it. And, you know, it's a horror movie, supposedly.
Yeah.
The inspiration for it though was Jaws and the way they built it up. And
that makes sense.
If I was going to compare it, to a movie, there are at least The Road.
Okay.
And one aspect I compare it to The Road. And, I'm drawing a blank on the second one I had that it's very similar to, Signs with Mel Gibson and Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, dude,
okay. You take The Road and those and that and put them together and it doesn't give away anything about it because the whole concept of this movie is, can you imagine living in a world where you had to be completely silent all the time or you die?
Yeah.
Literally, like walking, you have to tiptoe all the time.
Oh, wow.
And it is suspenseful. There's a scene really early on that I had to pause. I paused it right before it happened because I was afraid of what was about to happen because they kind of like foreshadow what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then something happens. And from then on, the suspense builds so much and literally audible, like you can hear me talking now, dialogue in the show, in the movie. Probably 3 to 4 or 5 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Total that you actually hear somebody speak in their voice like this.
Oh, wow.
It's the rest of it is mostly whispers and American Sign Language.
Oh, holy crap.
And it had me, I was compelled the entire way. And actually, I would have, if my wife had already seen it once with our oldest daughter.
Yeah.
I would have immediately watched it again. Because it's Krasinski, surprised me, Jim from The Office.
Yeah.
Is a heck of a director.
Oh, yeah. The character that I basically can't stand in The Office. Like,
I grew to where I could not stand him.
Yeah.
You'll love him in this role as a family.
Well, and he did that show, he did that movie. What was it? The one about, Benghazi.
Benghazi. Yeah.
He was great in Benghazi. 13 hours. Yeah. He was great in that movie as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I've been wanting to watch it, but it's been on Amazon and it had been only for buy. It hadn't been for rent yet. So.
It should be soon. It just came out this week, I believe, on Redbox, and that's where I rented it from.
Yeah, so if it's on Redbox, then it should be for rent on Amazon.
It's a good movie. And if you think differently, let me know because there's so many little things in it that I didn't catch even. My wife's caught said, oh, I knew this about it from because of this. And I can't say because you haven't seen it. But
I do know that they've given the green light for the sequel to be made or whatever.
Okay.
So
my oldest daughter has said something about they could make a sequel. I'm like, they could.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I hope it's done with all the care that they did for this first one.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. I'll probably be watching that tonight or at least that's my plan. That's what I got planned for tonight is checking out A Quiet Place. I think that's going to do it for us today, man.
Heck yeah.
We going to let little Steve do the outro?
No.
Oh.
All you gotta do is say,
come on. All you gotta do is say, this is 2BT, signing out.
Well, we got a lot of stuff to say before we do that.
Yeah, but I'm just asking.
Because we're gonna tell people where you can find us on Twitter. That's at the number 2BT show. That's at the number 2BT show. Same thing for email. If you want to email us, it's the number 2BT show at gmail.com. That's the number 2BT show at gmail.com. Go to nerdylegion.com/audible. Go sign up. Get your Audible subscription. It's free for the first 2 weeks. You get two books. You don't have to keep the subscription, but you can keep the books, which that together in itself.
And every month you get another credit for another book.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, there's lots of books on there that, I save my credits up for that are like $30 audiobooks.
Oh yeah.
And then I go back, get the $4 ones and just pay for them. Cause that's what I always do.
I always make sure that my audiobook that I'm getting with my credit is more than what my monthly subscription is.
Yeah.
So that way I feel like I've like kind of put one over on the system almost or something like that. But yeah, man, go check out Retro Reprise and Adam over at Retro Reprise. I think that's it. I think that's going to do it all.
This is 2BT signing out.
Yeah.
Adios.
Vaya con Dios.
I had no good
at me. Mama.
Bye.
I don't say goodbye. I say may the force be with you.
Awesome. Later, guys.
Ah! Oh, jeez.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Boom.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com.
This is a song all about drinking. Hi-ya-ya-ya, love you with me. Down to the sea and found what we wanted to be, yeah. And then we always tried to be where we are with no life. But then you were the only one who lived my life. The one who dragged me down, who dragged me down through the lust. But crash feelings in my mind. Your cover's blown again. Just close your eyes, you'll be alright. The kiss of loneliness, the grasp of dance, right up on there. The scars that leaves in you, that you just got something for no blast. But aye, 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 love you instead. Aye, 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 love you. Speeders in the rest of your life. It's strong but you were weak. Cause you won't even put up a fight. I wish you all the best. I wish you many happy days. I hope you'll turn around and live your life a better way. But hey, hey, hey.